This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Today, we have Captive with us. And I say Captive because this particular guest could answer a lot of questions that could help you move forward. She is a 34-plus year serial entrepreneur, angel investor, author, and philanthropist. Her book, The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for, wait for it, here it comes, financial abundance, which is all what we're thinking about right now. We've got Mae McCarthy. How are you, Mae?
Oh, I'm just great, Lisa. How about you?
I'm doing great. Now, this is a hot button topic, right? Everybody wants to know about wealth, but I think sometimes people think of financial wealth and then they separate like emotional wealth or physical wealth or spiritual wealth, but it all kind of intermingles, doesn't it?
It does. My definition for wealth is being whole and complete, lacking nothing in all areas of your life.
That is a tall order.
It's a good goal.
It is. That is a mountain that we love to climb, you know. So let's start right off the bat, because I thought it was very interesting in your book, because we all know what a CEO is, and we might even know what a CFO is. But does anybody know what a CSO is? And that is a chief spiritual officer. Tell us a little bit about that and how it relates to your book.
Oh, sure. Well, I surround myself as a CEO with lots of people whose advice I value, who actually can do their job a whole lot better than I can. So you've got the CFO that handles the finances in the company, and the CIO that takes care of the information and technology, and the COO that takes care of all the operations. And what I found was that I had been able to rely on this kind of spiritual source, this all-knowing infinite intelligence that other successful people will refer to as intuition, that there was a source for that intuition, and I could rely on it to give me advice that was even more valuable than what was in my C-suite. So I really wanted to take this idea of a partnership with this source seriously. So I decided to create a daily meeting with it. I added it to my C-suite, and I actually put it at the top of my organizational chart.
So when these meetings, does the CSO ever reschedule?
Never.
Never?
No.
Oh, man.
The ultimate multitasker.
So what do the meetings with your CSO sound like, look like, feel like?
Well, there's four steps in this meeting agenda that you do in the morning. You set aside about a half an hour, and I told all of my employees, all of my family, my friends, you know, don't contact me during this time every single morning. And what I would do is start out by sort of putting myself in a receptive mood, reading something for up to 5 minutes that would sort of remind me that really great things can happen to ordinary people. And that things that are beyond our imagination can happen if we're open to it. It doesn't always have to be that I establish a goal and figure out every step to get there. It could be that there's a better way to do it. So I read stories that are really short, for about 5 minutes, that describe those kinds of experiences. The second thing is I start writing out a letter to my CSO. I thank the CSO for everything that I've got that's off the top of my head, and I thank the CSO for everything that I want as though I already have it, with gratitude. And that's the big difference.
Okay, like, thank you so much for my new car. And maybe you don't have it yet, but you think as if you do.
Yeah, or if your normal goal might be, you know, to receive a dollar amount of revenues for your company, mm-hmm. and say, you know, I really would like to have, or I want to have, or I sure hope I can get. Instead of using those kinds of words, you just thank the CSO for it in advance. And what that's doing is it's programming your subconscious. Your subconscious always wants to make what comes out of your mouth true, mm-hmm. whether you're talking about something it really is true, or even something you don't want, it'll make it show up more often to make it true. So we have to put our attention on what we want and describe it as though we've already achieved it. That makes it more real to us. And then our subconscious and intuition, or our CSO, can give us some direction to notice possibilities to make those statements true.
Is it important that we always write it? Can we just say it, or...
Well, that step in writing it puts it down on paper, and there's something about getting your body involved that makes it more real for you. But the next step is to take 5 minutes to read what you just wrote out loud with emotion. And any school teacher will tell you, Lisa, that if you read something out loud, it anchors it more fully into your understanding. It's also letting you know that, especially your brain, who wants to protect you from disappointment, it's letting your brain know that you're very serious about having this. And what ends up happening is, even if you feel kind of fraudulent about writing this down and reading it out loud, I had a friend of mine who is a scientist, and she wanted to be a singer. She wanted to get paid for it.
Wow.
And she kept writing that down, doing the practice every single day, seeing herself in her mind's eye on stage. And she felt really fraudulent. You know, she thought, well, how could I possibly do that? I mean, I feel like such a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. She kept writing it. She kept reading it. She kept imagining herself in that picture of being on stage as a singer for about 6 months. And then something happened that made her feel like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I could do that. As soon as that happened, she got invited to all sorts of different parties where other paid performers were. She was able to compare herself and say, wait a minute. I can sing just as good as that. And then she got invited to another party. She met a community organizer that was putting on an event. She had this intuitive gut instinct to just say, I'm a singer. And she was invited to audition, and she got a part.
Wow, I love that. See, and that goes along with, you mentioned about that words have power. And that, you know, when we do speak them out into the world, they carry more power. But what I'm thinking of too is, how do we fight that voice inside our head? Because even though that's not out loud, it's still in there. Like your friend who thought, I feel fraudulent. Or, I mean, I don't know if that's ego-based self telling us, you don't know what you're doing, you don't have enough talent. I mean, how do we quiet that voice and make the other one louder?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting experiment that you can do. Think about something that is either negative or not positive.
Like right now? Can we do it right now?
If you think of something. Now, out loud, say something that is in line with the goal that you want. If you try to do the two things at exactly the same time, the one that you say out loud is always going to win for your attention.
I was definitely like fighting in my head between the two, but I know exactly if I had said the other one out loud, which is about making Empower Radio grow as a business. That's
right.
One of the things that, and it was fighting with another one, but as soon as I say it out loud, it sort of crosses the other one out.
The spoken word will always win out. So what I advise people to do is make sure that they keep these little affirmative statements around all the time for those times when your silent voice or other people tell you that you can't do something. What you want to do is be equipped with some affirmations, some goal attainment statements that are affirmative that you can just whip out and say out loud to pretty much eliminate those fearful thoughts or those fraudulent thoughts or what people have said that's not true.
Now, we're talking with Mae McCarthy, author of The Path to Wealth, 7 Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. And I know that you have helped to start and grow several successful companies, some as large as $100 million in annual revenues. So what happens when you turn to these companies and say, okay, I want you to talk out loud and I want you to sit and do, I mean, how does all that jive with, you know, this go, 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 A personality type that's in most businesses?
Okay. Well, for me, what I did is, it's none of my business what my employees practice. If they practice or have faith in anything, that's not my business. It should never be an employer's business. But I thought it was important that they knew what I thought. So I would explain it to them. I'd say, you know, you're going to hear me and maybe even some other seasoned employees that have been around for a while say things like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the CSO pulled a miracle out of a hat. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that this showed up. It must have been the CSO. You're going to hear that a lot, and you should probably know what it means. Now, that does not mean that you have to participate, but you should know that we are a miracle-making company. In fact, we have miracles show up so often, things that are so unusual as we are competing with Fortune 20 companies. Mm. They show up so often for us that miracles just turn into typicals. happens for us all the time. And when something happens, what I want you to do is notice every single day when stuff happens that really can't be explained and it's for our good, our coworkers' good, or our customers or our vendors. And you want to just know that that energy, not intelligence, is operating to make us successful. And if you don't have another name for it, you can call it the CSO.
So when have you actually been able to take some of what you do, let's say, for example, for your words, and get what you want? And then have they ever hindered you where your words did the opposite?
I'll give you a great example that I use a lot. And this is sort of how it works. I had one of my goals at one particular time in starting a company had been to have a minimum or more of $400,000 in revenue in a particular period of time. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful. Thank you so much, CSO, that we now receive a minimum of $400,000 in revenues and that we're serving our customers and our coworkers with excellence and with our superior products that are flawless and maintenance-free and, you know, those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I fly about 150,000 to 200,000 miles a year.
Wow.
And I landed in Cleveland. I went to get my bags. Then I got my rent-a-car, and then I went to my hotel and dropped off my bags. So it's a normal routine. Usually what I do at that point is I hop back in the car, and I drive to the closest grocery store to get water and snacks and things that I need for my stay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the car knowing that I'm going to drive to the store that's about 5 minutes away, and all of a sudden I get this incredibly strong thought. Just flew in from out of nowhere. And that's one of the ways that the CSO talks to me.
Hmm.
So it just flew in, and it was sort of this image of a grocery store that I knew that was about a 15-minute drive away.
Oh.
Well, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So my rational mind, the one that you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. my rational mind starts to try and talk me out of it. And it's saying things like, May. It's 9 o'clock at night. You don't need to be driving across Cleveland at 9 o'clock at night. Your appointment's at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's 5 o'clock in the morning Seattle time. You're going to be too tired, right?
Right.
You sound familiar?
Uh-huh.
So what I advise people to do is just to stop, take a deep breath, and say, I need another lead. If this is from you, if this is something I'm supposed to do, CSO, just, you know, if this is intuition and I'm supposed to follow it, give me a confirming sign. So I sat there for a minute, and my stomach felt comfortable, and I just felt like this awareness that, yeah, just make the drive. And my intuitive mind started showing up.
Hmm.
Well, maybe it won't be a wasted drive. Maybe everything will be on sale.
That's it.
So I thought, okay, fine. You know, I can't go to sleep anyway. It's really only 6 o'clock in the evening in Seattle. I won't be tired enough. So I made the drive. I parked the car, and as I'm walking in, who should be walking out at exactly the same time? But someone I met that represented a potential very large customer.
Ooh.
I met them 6 months before at a trade show, and they weren't returning any of my phone calls or emails to schedule an appointment.
Oh.
So I see this person, and we strike up a conversation, and before our pleasant conversation is finished, I'm invited to come and make a presentation while I'm in town to their company. Well, that led to another one and eventually earned us a contract worth over the $400,000 that I wanted.
Oh, see, I'm liking that.
And I have countless numbers of those kinds of stories in my book, too. And not just from me, but from many, many people.
Right. And sometimes, too, they are big, like an over $400,000. And sometimes they're little, like maybe you would go and you have found something on sale. So, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're quite grand and other times they're just small little gifts.
Yeah. And the important thing is to notice it. In that morning meeting, I described three of the steps. But the fourth step is to use a technique that many professional athletes use as part of their normal daily training. And what they do is they close their eyes and they imagine seeing themselves winning the match, hitting the shot, making the right play. They see themselves actually in the competition winning. So what I have people do is to take whatever it is that their goal is and use the same technique. So I would see myself sitting at a desk looking at my financial spreadsheet and seeing that $400,000 on my spreadsheet.
And so do you think in implementing these techniques, even if, like, let's say something has been said no to before, like, your example of they wouldn't get back you, they wouldn't get back to you. And then all of a sudden you run into it and it all ends up turning out the way you want to. I'm just thinking in strange terms. Okay, look, I'm a single woman, and sometimes I think of, all right, if you want a certain love to come into your life, can you use these same sort of principles?
Sure. I'm so grateful that I am in a remarkable and fulfilling and satisfying and loving relationship with my divine complement of a partner. We have so much fun together. We are both whole and complete and really enjoy being with each other.
I've just imprinted that on my heart, my mind. Can I add in emotionally and geographically desirable?
Oh, you sure can.
That would be lovely.
Right. And here's what I know. The place that people get really frustrated is when they create the goal and then they try to reason what the path is.
Ah.
Your job is just to figure out what it is that you want and be grateful for it in advance. Your CSO or your intuition or this divine intelligence or whatever you want to call it is going to create the path. Mm. You don't get to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to give you intuitive directions through yourself, through your own stomach, your thoughts, your emotions, and through other people. And it's going to give you directions to take one step at a time along the path that it creates for you to achieve your goal. But a lot of us really, really want to continue to have control, and we want to make the actual all the steps on the path as well. And we have to stop doing that.
Yeah, it's no different than when you step on to a car on a roller coaster. You're not going to say, well, I'm going to try and make this path go a different way. No, you get on, you get in, you hang on, and you go for the ride.
Right, and your goal is essentially to just have a really fun time.
Yes.
Right.
As long as I have Dramamine, we're good.
Yeah. And the other part that people have a challenge with is when something doesn't make sense. Like, It doesn't make sense to drive across town in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even had one experience where I got these intuitive leads one after another and ended up in a doctor's office. And the doctor was looking at this little tiny dark spot on my leg that my sister really felt, and I had gut instinct about it needed to be removed.
Okay.
And the doctor told me, May, it's too small. There's nothing wrong there. I've been doing this for years and years and years. There's nothing there. You don't need to worry about this.
Mm-hmm.
And my gut wrenched and just said, no, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you have to take that off. And when I came back a week later, I had a diagnosis of malignant melanoma.
Oh, yeah.
So my goal at that time was that I was physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, healthy. Every cell in my body is in perfect health, and I'm operating in a pain-free body.
You know, you put a lot of these, the way that you say things, it's very eloquent. I know some people who are listening might get tongue-tied or saying, well, I don't know how to say it. I can't say it as well as she can.
Well, you just start with wherever you are. What I ask people to do is to imagine seeing themselves laying in bed with a grin on from ear to ear, okay? You've got this big grin on from ear to ear, and you're so happy because you just met your goal. What did you do? What happened in order for you to reach that goal? What were the pieces? What's the outcome that ended up making you believe that you reached your goal? Describe that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect.
No. And that's the wonderful thing about writing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
As you're writing it every day and as you're reading it out loud every day, you start to hear yourself and you can modify it. So I've been doing this for 34 years.
So we got to cut ourselves some slack, is what you're saying.
Right. But wherever you start, you know, a month from now, you're writing the same goal until you achieve it.
Okay.
So it's going to morph, and you're going to feel, as you start to see yourself in your mind's eye in that completed goal, your description of it's going to change.
Right.
And so, yeah, cut yourself some slack.
Yeah. So you claim that people can sort of jumpstart this good or jumpstart their good. How do they start doing that to attract things a little sooner into their life?
Sure. And I've had a number. I teach workshops all over the country, and I've had a number of people ask me that same question. And I said, whatever you feel that you're lacking, some people say they, you know, don't have enough time, or they don't have enough money, or they don't have enough appreciation. They don't feel appreciated. And so whatever it is that you feel that you don't have enough of, go ahead and start giving that first. For instance, I knew a woman who was an accounting manager, and she probably had about, 15 or 20 people that worked for her. And she didn't feel appreciated. She was just telling me all about how awful her company treated her and how they never appreciated her and how she was going to start looking for a new job. And I said, see, what you're saying is you're not feeling appreciated. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, why don't you start giving appreciation and see what happens? I said, pick one person every single day and either email them, call them, send them a text and say, I just thought of you and I want you to know how much I appreciate you. That's all you have to do.
Bingo.
So she started doing that. But within a couple weeks, her assistant came in and said, come on, you got to get ready for this meeting. And as they walked out of her office, coming down the hall is an executive vice president of the company. He drops to his knees in front of her, starts flailing his arms in homage. All of her employees pop their heads up over their cubes, and they're all watching this, and he says, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You and your team ended up saving us tens of thousands of dollars by catching this one particular error.
Wow.
We are so grateful to you.
Just from her starting to do that. Ugh, I love these sort of full circle moments. Mae McCarthy is with us today. The Path to Wealth, 7 Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. And I know you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, also MaeMcCarthy.com. We'll have all of that contact information up on our page. Mae, you have graciously agreed to answer the RL3 questions. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, first question. If you live to be 100, would it be more important to have a sharp mind or a fit body?
For me, it'd be more important to have a sharp mind.
Okay. What would you like to be able to do really, really well, even when you're 100, with that sharp mind?
To do what I'm doing now, which is to elevate prosperity and freedom in the world.
Lovely. All right. Question number 2. What would you love to find at a yard sale? Whether or not you frequent yard sales or not is of no importance.
Oh, my gosh. What would I like to find at a yard sale? A new friend.
Oh, that, you, applause. Remy, our producer, is in here applauding you for that answer. I didn't even think of that. Oh, man, that is good. All right. So our third and final question is, we always find out what everybody's fantasy name is. And that means the first pet you ever had, that's going to be your first name. And the street you grew up on, that is your last name. So what is your fantasy name?
Yeller Willacokie.
Yeller Willacokie, it has been a mighty fine time interviewing you. That one is, what type of an animal was Yeller?
Yeller was a German Shepherd.
Oh, I love it.
And Willacokie was the street I grew up on in Hawaii.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time and your energy. I really enjoyed this, and I know all of our listeners will. Please make sure you check out The Path to Wealth, and thank you again very much for being here.
No, thanks so much, Lisa.